Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. Streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami. In Louisiana, on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi, on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville-Biloxi. In Ohio, on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon-Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania, on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas, on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin, at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. It's 10:01 Central Time, 11:01 Eastern Time. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, brothers and sisters of Divine Will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the Divine Will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined, as always, by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will, coming to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're not going to begin with prayer. We're going to begin with a supplication. And that is from day 31 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. Amen. And we ask this supplication through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters. Great to be alive.
Peter,
We're really grateful. Oh, everything is well. You know, Mother, I was thinking this morning, you know, we were talking about prayer, and then what came to mind was, you know, we know that Jesus, when the apostles asked, how do we pray? And Jesus could have given them a whole litany of prayers, a whole book of prayers, but he gave them one prayer, gave them the Our Father prayer. And that's the only prayer that I was aware of that our blessed Lord gave to his church in his humanity. And then comes the gift of living the divine will. And I know we've talked about this on numerous occasions. A lot of times when we read the truths of the divine will of Jesus explained to Louisa and explained to us what everything is all about, we almost have that knee-jerk reaction, like this is too good to be true, or he can't do that. I mean, we always have some type of doubt in the back of our minds, but of course God can do everything. And it's through the church that we're going to learn the fullness of this. And again, we've talked about this also. I'd like to hit two quick catechisms, because it's always nice to know our catechism. It's our grounding. It's Article 66 and Article 67. First is Article 66. It states, quote, "The Christian economy, therefore, since it is the new and definitive covenant, will never pass away. And no new public revelation is to be expected before the glorious manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yet, even if revelation is already complete, it has not been made completely explicit. It remains for the Christian faith gradually to grasp its full significance over the course of centuries." Article 66. Coupled with that, Article 67, quote, "It is not so-called private revelation's role to improve nor complete Christ's definitive revelation, but to help us live it more fully in a certain period of time, end quote. So that sets the stage for everything that God wants to give us. And again, I was, again, wasn't my intention, but speaking about the only prayer that, that Jesus gave us, I was reading The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa, published by the Vatican back in 2015. On page 72, Jesus gave Luisa another prayer. And again, if he's giving it to Luisa in this particular case, he's giving it to us as well. Here it is. Jesus himself suggests that she repeats the following prayer. Quote, "Ever holy and indivisible Trinity, we adore you profoundly. We love you intensely. And we thank you perpetually for all and in the hearts of all," end quote. So again, without the divine will, we wouldn't have this. So for the centuries, it takes centuries for this to be known. God is patient. God is waiting. In fact, God, Mother, if I recall correctly, God states that he'll wait until the timing is right. He'll wait as long as he has to wait. And if the current generation is not going to accept it, I know our mother said this, that she'll wait. She'll wait as long as it takes. But he does tell Luisa the time is now. So we are really fortunate to be alive at this time. Any thoughts, Mother?
Well, we've been praying the Our Father for all these centuries, asking for his will to come upon earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're leading up to now. That's what we're coming to. So we didn't understand all those centuries before what we were praying for. We didn't understand that. He's talking, I think, but you can't hear him.
No, I'm not saying anything, Mother.
Okay. Oh. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay.
Okay. Everything's good.
Anyway, yes, we've been praying all these centuries for for his kingdom to come upon earth as it is in heaven. And now we see that it's happening. It's already starting to reign. I think the divine will is starting to reign on earth now, with people reading it, understanding it, trying to live it. Some people have already felt that they are living truly in the divine will. Luisa was the first. She said, well, I think it was September 8th, forget the year. 1899 was the beginning of the first person to live in the divine will after Our Lady and Jesus, of course. So now, since Luisa, 1889, September 8th, 1889 is when the divine will, when she received the gift of the divine will, Luisa, and from that time on, other people could enter into this gift of living in the divine will. But the Our Father has everything in it, you know, for us to forgive others. So we can be forgiven. And, you know, it's all charity and love. And that's what the divine will is all about, charity and love, and asking him to really reign in us, to relive his life in us. That's what it means to live in the divine will on earth as it is in heaven, because everyone in heaven and in purgatory are living in the divine will. And so we're longing for that. We're seeking that, to live with him, you know, in that perfect way. And I think this is a great time to be alive, because now we can enter into this gift. We can receive this gift upon the desire of wanting this gift. Just desire it, and the Lord will give you the gift. You know, I was just reading here, volume 20. This is in volume 20, December 3rd, 1926. "And my prisoner Jesus," Luisa saying this, "all afflicted, said to me, 'My daughter, do you know why I allowed myself to be put in prison during the course of my passion, to free man from the prison of the human will? Look at how horrible is my prison. It was narrow. It was a narrow place that served to contain the rubbish and the excrements of creatures. So the stench was unbearable. The darkness was thick. They left me not even a little lamp. My position was excruciating, dirtied with spit, my hair disheveled, suffering in all my members, bound not even erect but bent. I could help myself in no way, not even to remove the hair from my eyes that bothered me. This prison of mine is the true image of the prison formed by the human will of creatures. The stench that emanates from it is horrible. The darkness is thick. Many times, not even the little lamp of reason is left to them. They are always restless, deranged, dirtied, and most wretched, passions, with most wretched passions. Oh, how much should this prison of the human will be wept over? How vividly I felt in this prison the evil it had done to creatures. My sorrow was so great that I shed bitter tears, and I prayed my celestial father to free the creatures from this prison, so ignominious and painful. You too, pray together with me that creatures may release themselves from their will. So we don't realize how difficult it is that we're living, if we're living in our human will, how much we need to be pitied. We don't realize the darkness, the prison that we're in when we allow our passions to control us and not try to live totally in God's divine will. So, you know, God, our Lord suffers from seeing his children suffering so much that before the fall, Adam and Eve had no suffering. They had perfect joy, perfect peace. They loved much. And then their passions took over and they became unhappy. They became dirtied. They realized that they were no longer clothed, because in the writings too, I was just reading this morning, in the writings, it says that they were clothed with the light of the divine will. And when they sinned, the light bulb went out. The light went out and they realized they were naked. So they were clothed with the beautiful light of divine will, you know. So it's what a terrible thing happened to them, how unhappy they became at that moment. And we have to pity them, you know. I mean, they lost a lot. Of course, Adam and Eve are in heaven now, and they everything that they did before the fall was in divine will. So they are saints with a great high place in heaven because of living in the divine will for the time that they did. So, you know, we have to just really pray that more and more people embrace this gift to get out of their own human will and to let their will be totally united with God's divine will. So that we become like little gods. We're made to his image and likeness. We want to get that image and likeness back by living in totally in his divine will.
All right. You know, Mother, that reminds me also of when Father Brown joined us here back in, I think it was 2015, he shared a quote with us, if I may. It goes perfectly with what you just mentioned. This quote says, quote, "Unless we understand the insidious nature of the opponent, the human will, there is no hope of escape. The opponent comes dressed in the clothes of a friend rather than the uniform of a guard, and then betrays us endlessly to our captors. Even worse, the human will convinces us that he is us. What we call life is a vast case of mistaken identity. And until we distinguish our identity from the opponent, we will remain imprisoned," end quote. Mm-hmm. Goes along perfectly with what you just said.
Yeah.
We have to get out of our own way, in other words.
We don't realize we're imprisoned in our human will. Yeah. We're all living in a prison, but we don't realize that until we get freed from that prison and we have that freedom of spirit and we fall in love with everyone because God is in everyone. That's when we get happy and we get out of this prison. Of letting our passions control us, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Mother, as you were speaking about Adam and Eve, I think about that sometimes, you know, we're called to the sanctity that Adam and Eve lived before the fall, but that's hard to imagine because there was no sin in the world yet before they fell, you know, everything was perfect. So I thought, well, we don't live in that kind of a world. We live in a broken world. We have concupiscence. We've got our own weaknesses and temptations. And then I thought, well, that's why it's so important to do our acts, to invite Jesus to do everything in us, because he lived obviously perfectly in the divine will. He was divine by nature, but also 100% human. So, you know, he's got to do it for us. And he lived in a broken world, you know, just like us. So that's why we have to more and more model ourselves after him and ask him to do everything in, with, and through us, because only he can truly teach us how to live in the divine will, how to live totally united with the eternal Father. And I just wanted to read something I read actually earlier today. It's from, actually, I don't know what volume it's from. It's from November 4th. I found it in the calendar book, but there was no volume. But our Lord says to Louisa, "You will be my sister on earth. My will from heaven will animate yours. We will be in continuous reflections, and whatever I will do, you will do as well. I by nature and you by the grace of my continuous reflections. I will follow you like a shadow. I will never leave you. My only purpose in creating the creature was that he would do my will in everything. But with this, I wanted to bring to existence new births of myself. I wanted to make of him a prodigy portent, worthy of me and in everything similar to me. But alas, the human will was going to be the first to put itself against me. Take a look. All things are done between two. You have eyes, but if you did not have an external light which illuminates you, you could see nothing. You have hands, but if you did not have the necessary things with which to do your works, you would do nothing. And so with all the rest. Now, this is how I want sanctity in the creature, between her and me, between the two of us, I on one side and she on the other. I giving my own life and communicating my sanctity to her as her faithful companion, and she receiving it as my faithful and inseparable companion. In this way, she would be the eye that sees, and I the sun that gives her light. She the mouth and I the word. She the hands and I the one who administers the work to let her operate. She the foot and I the step. She the heart and I the heartbeat. But do you know who forms this sanctity? My will alone is that which maintains the purpose of creation in order. The sanctity in my will is that which maintains perfect balance between creatures and creator. These are true images which came out from me. I wanted to put this on a little card and have it ready for when people ask me.
So yeah, that's great. Wow.
Right? What is living? What is living in the divine?
Define what volume. You think it might be volume one that doesn't have any dates?
Actually, no. Sister Scholastic actually just found it. It's volume 13.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I don't know why it's, I don't know if it's a glitch because I'm reading from a Kindle. So I don't know if it's a glitch that didn't have the volume, but yeah.
Sometimes, just, sister, I notice that when we get certain things of email, maybe from the association or something, they'll give a quote from the volumes, but not necessarily the actual volume number or the date. And a lot of times people like to go back to that and reread it or copy it and just have it, like you said, nearby or put it on a card. It's always nice to have.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So it was volume 13, November 4th. But yeah, it's all right. That's all we have to do. We have to give our little human, we have to just keep living our human little lives, but asking the divine will to come and do everything in with and through us, asking Jesus to do everything with us. And then it's just so beautiful. Then we have company in all we do, and he's got company in all he does. And it's pretty amazing because since he's God, we're actually with him in creation. We're actually with him as he's saving souls. We're actually with him as he's bringing souls to life. You know, we may not necessarily feel it as we're, you know, chopping onions or, you know, cleaning the car or whatever, but spiritually that's what's happening. And it's so amazing. And I think that's all we have to do. And just as a little caveat, making sure what we're doing during our day is the will of God, because obviously you can't live in the divine will unless you're doing his will, but it's really pretty easy if we just kind of get out of the way and not complicate it like we so enjoy doing.
Well, that's it. You know, go ahead.
Mother, I was going to say, early on, you were talking about the date, I think it was 1899, when Louisa was fully living in the divine will. I think it's good to make that delineation because we may be getting a lot of phone calls and emails. Jesus states that anyone in the state of grace can enter into the gift of living the divine will.
Right.
But that compared to 1899, when Louisa was fully accepted, she was living fully in the divine will. So there's a lot of pages between entering through our desire and fulfilling to live totally, fully in God's most holy divine will. But just getting in really is like, it's like it's raining outside. You want to get in the house. It doesn't matter what room you're in, as long as you're out of the elements. So the biggest thing for us is just to get into the divine will, and that's desire. And I think we mentioned last week, what comes, you need knowledge to have desire. What comes first, desire or knowledge? Was it the chicken or the egg? And we recognize too that it was the Holy Spirit that has placed a desire, an inkling of desire in each and every one of us. We just need to be able to allow that to flourish in each and every one of us. I think that was just an important delineation.
Well, before this time, our Lord was teaching Louisa how to get into the divine will. He was teaching her to desire it. He was teaching her what is the divine will. He was letting her see who she is and all of her weaknesses and all of her faults. And he was purifying her. And the first 10 volumes is about that, the purification of Louisa, you know, and then she entered fully in the gift of receiving the gift of the divine will. It's easy for us now. She did it all. It's all written down. We just have to read it and desire it. And, you know, like Sister was just saying, it's very simple to get into the divine will. You just got to do acts and rounds in the divine will. He does the rest. Right. You know, you want to practice virtue. I remember Father Celso telling me that, you know, he said, you wanted to be a saint, but you thought, I don't have what the saints have there. You know, the saints, they were able to do all these penances and all, and, you know, we're weak and we find things difficult. You know, of course we still should make sacrifices and do penances. And, but, you know, in the divine will, it's easy. You desire to do the penance. You desire to make the sacrifice when you fall in love with him. And how do you fall in love with him? You call him into all your activities. He does the activity within you and you shrink and he gets bigger. And at that point, you're dying to your passions. You die to your passions more and more. You know, I was asked to give some talks at a retreat in Fatima. We just came back,
Tuesday night.
We were over there over the weekend, and the people are all excited now about the divine will. They want it in Portuguese, and we found it in Brazilian Portuguese to be able to email it to them, you know. But now what was I telling you? Oh, we went to Jacinta and Francisco's house. Of course, they were very poor, you know, but they made tremendous sacrifices. Those two little children, like 7 and 9 years old, I think, with Jacinta and Francisco. And Francisco wanted to pray all the time. You know, he would hide from the people. They showed us a loft up in the ceiling that he would get into. The house was very small. And one day when people were out at the door wanting to see Francisco, Jacinta said, Francisco, people out there, they want to see you. Come on, come on. He said, no, I want to pray. I want to pray. And she said, come on, Francisco, come and see the people. No, I want to pray. And she said, well, make sacrifices for souls. You know, and so then he said, okay, I'll come. He was just wanting to sacrifice. So this was a pain for him to meet with the people, but he did it. But it was easy for these children to make sacrifices. They would wear tight ropes around their waist. They would give their food away to other people and go hungry all day long. And they were very poor. I'm sure they didn't have much food, you know. And so it was easy because here they were seeing Our Lady. Our Lady was giving them, through Our Lady, they were receiving the grace to be transformed and to find it easy to die to their own passions and to give, to make these great penances, you know. But I think as we call God into all of our activities, I think we'll find penance and sacrifice easier. It won't be such a task because you die into your passion. You only want what God wants. And what does God want? That's what I want, you know. So I think, you know, just what sister was talking about, it's easy when you allow him to relive his life in you. He loves you so much. He just wants to relive his life in each one of us.
And Mother, this is not something new. Like Peter mentioned earlier, we have all these already deposited in the church. And when you mentioned, Mother, the fruit of the divine will, it's basically the same as the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because that's basically what it is. Divine will is God and it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And speaking of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we've been listening to a talk on joy by Scott Hahn and Charles, whatever his last name, I forgot, but about joy. And just briefly, you know, we would know, like, if we really allow the divine will to live in our lives, we would find peace and joy and all the fruits. And according to this, we listened to this talk, what really stand out was that Scott Hahn says, we would never arrive to the supernatural without going through the natural. And the natural is what we need as a human being. If we needed to rest in God, if we needed to eat, we're hungry, eat. And of course, you know, Mother mentioned about suffering, but if we suffer, it's not us suffering, but it's Jesus. We go through the natural process, you know, the hunger, the rest. We can't just do unnatural things because we have to go through theirs. But if we allow God to do in us, it becomes supernatural, but we have to go through the natural first.
I don't know if it's time for a break.
About another 1 or 2 minutes for a break, Mother.
Okay. Well, I was reading from volume 20 here, December 6, 1926. And my adored Jesus added, my daughter, only when an act encloses within itself all other acts together, then can it be called perfect. And my will alone encloses this perfect act. And while it does one act alone, all possible and imaginable acts that exist in heaven and on earth gush forth from the single act. This single act of my will is symbolized by a fount. While the fount is one, from it gushes seas, rivers, fire, light, heaven, stars, flowers, mountains, and earth. Everything comes out of this one fount. So when you do one act in the divine, it's like you're enclosing all acts in divine will, all acts together. Now, you don't have to be aware of that. We're not thinking of that. But because one act of God, everything is within God. So if God is doing an act within us, then all acts that God has done is enclosed in that one act. So we're doing everything with him as he does them.
Sort of like beyond our imagination or comprehension. Well, actually, you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. I'm Peter DePalma, along with Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Sister Magdalena just mentioned about, Scott Hahn mentioning about, we have to go through the natural to get to the supernatural. And, you know, one of the questions I guess would be, how do we know when we've gotten through the natural? I think Jesus has explained that to us in the Book of Heaven. And actually, he's told us that we finally arrived. We're going back to the other side, finally.
Right, right.
Free.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, welcome back, everyone, to the kindergarten. You know, in a kindergarten, all kindergartens take recess, right? Even we do. Yeah. We're here with Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. And we're talking about the divine will, of course. And we opened up with a couple of quotes from our Catholic Catechism. Mother, a moment or two ago, mentioned that, through this gift of living the divine will, God wants to make us little gods. No, that's not scandalous. That is true. That's actually, it's in our catechism. And I would like to repeat that right now. Catholic Catechism 460, quote, "The word became flesh to make us partakers of the divine nature. For this is why the word became man and the Son of God became the Son of Man. So that man, by entering into communion with the word and thus receiving divine sonship, might become a son of God. For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods." End quote. Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 460. It's all there.
It's all there.
Just jumping out now.
Right. Well, you know, as you read the divine will, you see everything you read, everything else you read. I'm reading the Divine Mercy right now, and I read different things, you know, but you see the divine will in everything now. What you've learned in the divine will comes out at you in all the teachings of the church that you understand in a much deeper, fuller way now that you've read the divine will, you know, that then we understood before. I want to go on with what I was reading before in volume 20. It says, "Now Adam, in the state of innocence and the height of the sovereign queen, by possessing my will, if they loved, in that love, they enclosed adoration, glory, praise, blessing, prayer. Nothing was missing in their littlest act. In it flowed the multiplicity of the qualities of the single act of my supreme volition that made them embrace everything. And so in one act, they gave to their creator whatever befitted him. So if they loved, they adored. If they adored, they loved. Isolated acts that do not embrace all acts together cannot be called perfect. There are meager acts that give of human will. And therefore, only in the fiat can the soul find true perfection in her acts and offer a divine act to her creator." So a divine act encloses all acts. We have to know that. I think, you know, our Lord told Louisa that every act in the divine will that we allow him to do within us, according to the knowledge that we have, makes it a greater and greater and greater act. Well, we have to understand that when we do one act in divine will, we're embracing everything that God, that is in God, that every act that is in God. So, you know, it one act in divine will is a great thing. Our Lord told that to Louisa. You can't imagine what one act in divine will does. One round in divine will, an act, that's also an act of God. God is putting his I love yous for us in all these things that we desire him to do that for us, you know, to give to the Father that glory that he deserves. So
if this isn't sinking into anyone, I mean, it's to be expected. Jesus says this is incomprehensible to the human mind, but through his grace and graces, we will understand the language of heaven and understand exactly what he means eventually. Sister?
Yes. We were talking about like how we have to like live as a natural, and that we are like doing our human daily acts, and through these little small acts that he's doing the great things in the divine will. And then the perfect example of living in the divine will is Our Lady, of course. And this is volume 16, August 20th, 1923. And here Jesus explains to Louisa how our Blessed Mother lived perfectly in the divine will. And then there is the example of my mama, true sanctity of the living in my will. Her interior all eclipsed in the eternal sun of the supreme volition, having to be the queen of the sanctity of the saints, mother and bearer of my life to all, and therefore of all goods, she remained as though hidden within all, bringing good without making herself recognized. More than silent sun, she would bring light without speech, fire without clamor, good without exposing herself. There was no good which would not come from her. There was no miracle which would not spring from her. By living in my will, she lived hidden within all, and she was and is the original of the goods of all. She was so enraptured in God, so fixed and ordered in the divine will, that her whole interior swam in the sea of the eternal volition. She was aware of the whole interior of all creatures, and she would place her own in order to reorder them before God. It was precisely the interior of man, more than the outside, to be in greater need of being redone and reordered. And so, having to do the major part, it seemed that she would leave out the minor. While she was the origin of both the external and the internal good, yet on the outside, it seemed that she would not do great and sensational works. More than sun, she would pass unobserved and hidden in the cloud of the light of the divine will, so much so that the very saints have given of themselves, doing apparently more sensational things than my very mama did. Yet what are the greatest saints before my celestial mama? They are just little stars compared to the great sun. And if they are illuminated, it is because of the sun. But even though she did not do sensational things, she did not cease to be also visibly majestic and beautiful, just barely hovering over the earth, all intent on that eternal will, which with great love and violence, she charmed and enraptured in order to transport it from heaven to earth, and which the human family had so brutally exiled up on high. And she, with all of her interior ordered in the divine will, would give no time to time, whether she would think, palpitate, breathe, and everything she would do. These were all charming bonds in order to draw the eternal word upon earth. And in fact, she won and performed the greatest miracle, which no one else can do. So on the outside, it seemed like that Our Lady didn't do any great like miracles like the other saints. But here Jesus said that she performed the great miracles than all the saints, and she is the mother and queen of the divine will. When we just think back, and then she only did like the house chores and houseworks, like sweeping, mopping, starting the fire, taking care of, like putting things in order. In our eyes, it seems really small and like trivial things, our just human daily things. But because Our Lady lived perfectly in the divine will and called the divine will in all her acts, so that became the divine acts. And for a while, if we just abandoning our will for a moment, it is easy, but just continuously conforming her will to the divine will is not easy at all. But here, whenever she thought, palpitated and breathed, it just everything she did, she lived in the divine will. And also here Jesus said that when a sanctity is individual for a time and a place, it has more external prodigies in order to attract those individuals, places, and times. But on the other hand, the sanctity of living in my will is not an individual sanctity. So it covers not only for certain places and certain people, certain time, but it covers and it does good to all. In all times and in all places. This is why Jesus wants so badly that we do the divine will. And this is his whole interest, because every time we do the divine will and operate, because Jesus wants it, then he finds occasion, opportunity, and means to give everything to us. And always, this is why he wants us to live in the divine will. And Mother did all the works of redemption. And then he called Luisa finally. And then he asked her to do the work of the Fiat Voluntas Tua, in which now we have to do, and for the divine kingdom to reign on earth. So in order to live in the divine will, we gotta ask Our Lady to teach us how to be humble, how to be meek, and unassuming, and to call the divine will in all the all the acts, and even if it's a little things we do, like sleeping, eating, walking, working, just try to follow the example of Our Lady.
Thank you, Sister Gloria, for bringing up Our Lady. You know, St. Louis de Montfort echoed those words. He said that she brought Christ into this world. She will also bring Christ to this world. Of course, we mean through the gift of the divine will. Going back to the catechism real quickly also regarding our mother, Article 507, quote, "At once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the church," end quote. Mother.
Okay, so in volume 22, Jesus tells Luisa that Jesus tells Luisa, "My daughter, the triumph of God is the human will operating in his own. This is his victory, to have what came out of him come back into himself, into his own will. As the soul operates in it, she extends within the divine boundaries, and her acts take their place in everything that is eternal. It is true that my will is everywhere. There is not one point that can escape it. But where does it carry out its power, its divine operating? In the soul who lives in it. The soul who lives in it gives it the occasion for new works. She allows it to put out the beautiful and the holy that it possesses inside." So Jesus is telling Luisa here that God's triumph is the human will operating in his own. And this really emphasizes the importance of striving to live in the divine will, and how the soul who lives in the divine will, it gives it the occasion for new works. And as the soul operates in the divine will, she extends the divine boundaries within herself. And Jesus continues to tell Luisa, "It happens as it did in creation. Our being existed ab eterno, but nothing could be seen outside of ourselves before creation, because all our operating, our portents and beatitudes were carried out within ourselves. But when our divine being wanted to operate outside of ourselves, our will had the occasion to operate, and it issued the whole universe with such sumptuousness, order, and harmony, as to form the amazement of all generations in the triumph and victory of our supreme being. The same with the soul who lives in our will. As she operates, she gives it the occasion to form more works worthy of it. Therefore, she is our continuous triumph in the carrying out of our works. She keeps a divine attitude up. So, while forming our triumph and our victory, at the same time, the soul triumphs and conquers the divine will. Therefore, both one and the other are seen as victorious. God and the littleness of the creature. Do you think it is trivial that the littleness of the creature sings victory, moves the divine will to operate, and conquers it?" So Jesus is really telling Luisa here the importance of just living in the divine will, and how the triumph of God is the human will operating in his own. And that it's not a trivial thing that the littleness of the creature sings victory.
Yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah.
Okay, Grace.
Yeah. On December 8, 1926, volume 20, our Lord says, "My daughter, you are our echo. As you enter into our will, in order to love, to praise, to ask for the coming of our kingdom, we hear in you the echo of our love, the echo of our glory, the echo of our fiat that wants to come upon the earth in order to reign, that wants to be prayed and prayed again and pressed to come to reign on earth as it does in heaven. And as you go around through all the whole creation to follow the acts of the supreme will in it, we hear your echo in the sea, in the valleys, in the mountains, in the sun, in the heavens, in the stars, and everything. How beautiful is this echo? It is our echo that resounds in all our things. In this echo, we hear the echo of our voice, the motion of our works, the treading of our steps, the motions, the pulsation of our heartbeat. And we greatly delight and see in your littleness as you, while echoing, try to imitate our voice, to copy the motions of our works, to make the same sound as our steps, and to love with our own heartbeat. So it's like our Lord, like we're little children, and our Lord just delights in seeing our echo and everything, our trying to imitate him in everything, our steps, our words, our love, and wanting to imitate our Lord in all the acts that we do, because actually he's doing them in us, but we want to do it with him. We can't do it without him, but we like little children that can't do it without our Father. So he does it within us and we go along with him. So it's like, you know, Tony Hickey says, Jesus wants to pray, I want to pray with him. Jesus wants to walk, I want to walk with him. So it's like Jesus wants to do everything and we want to do it with him. That's how we die. That's how we die to ourselves, to our passions, and live more completely in him. He says, by living in our fiat, the soul does nothing other than imitate her creator. And the eternal Son concentrates all of its reflections upon her in such a way that she becomes the little Son in the likeness of the divine Son. Was this not precisely our purpose and our saying, let us make man to our image and likeness? So that's how we are become more and more to the image and likeness of God, which he created us to be. As we put our echo in everything with him, we become more and more like him. Sister.
So there was this passage from volume 30, November 4th, 1931, that struck me as appropriate to what we were discussing today. Louisa writes, I was following the acts that my highest good Jesus had done in his humanity when he was on earth. And making himself heard, he added, my daughter, my human will had no act of life, but rather it was in act of receiving the continuous act of my divine will that I, as word of the celestial Father, possess. Therefore, all my acts and pains, prayers, breaths, and heartbeats that I did, as my human will undergo the life of the divine will, formed many ties to retie the human wills to mine. And since these human wills were like houses, some collapsing, others damaged, and others reduced to ruin, my divine will, operating in my humanity, prepared with my acts the helps to sustain the ones collapsing, to cement the ones damaged, and to raise again upon their very ruins the houses destroyed. I did nothing for myself. I did not have any need. I did everything in order to redo, to rehabilitate the human wills. My only need was love and wanting to be loved back. Now, in order to receive all my helps and my pains and works as operating works, speaking voice, and helping messengers, the creature must unite her will to mine, and immediately she will feel herself retied to mine, and all my acts will offer themselves around to do their offices in order to sustain, cement, and raise again the human will. As soon as she unites herself and decides to do my divine will, all of my acts, like fierce army, place themselves as defense of the creature and form the boat of safety in the stormy sea of life. But for one who does not do my will, I could say that she receives nothing, nor can she receive, because my will alone is the outgiver of everything I did for love of creatures. So that was a pretty good passage. I'm not sure what else to add to that, but it just seems really good, the benefits of giving up the human will, let God do, and we get out of the way. But it struck me also, this passage, it's kind of funny, but you know, we live here in Italy. Sometimes we notice that Italian people really like old things. Like there's a bunch of ruins around here, ruined houses and stuff. So I'm reading here, we're like houses, some collapsing, others damaged, others reduced to ruin. And I'm like, yeah, sounds about that bit like Italy. But anyway, yes, because it shows also how without God, you know, through sin, we're not whole. We're incomplete. We're missing something. We're like weak and all that. And so what Jesus is saying here is that, well, if you let go of your human will, if you let me do, if you trust in me and do ask me to do everything in you, through you, and for you, and we in turn offer our honor, glory, and love and thanksgiving and adoration to God, you know, through that, we regain our strength. Through that, we become whole, we lack nothing. And in the end, we'll feel better also. It's like we realize what we have been missing. And we also will be thinking, how could I thought I could be without this? How could I think I could do this on my own?
So true.
Yeah. Actually, from the very beginning of the show, I just kept thinking, restore all things in Christ, restore all things in Christ. You know, God is trying to get us back, you know, to our original purpose, the reason he created us. He's trying to restore us. You know, we weren't created just to be fixed. You know, Jesus didn't come just to fix us. You know, he came to restore us to our original dignity. So I Googled it to see restore all things in Christ. Where have I heard that from? And it was obviously inspired by scripture, but it was the motto of the pontificate of Pope Pius X. Peter, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he the Pope that Saint Annibale de Francia brought the Passion Book to? And he said,
we must be kneeling. Yeah. This is truly the words of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So he lived at the time of Luis. And I want to read something from his apostolic letter that was announcing his motto for his pontificate. And it was called Supremi Apostolatis, which I'm assuming means like our supreme apostolate. And he says, since, however, it has been pleasing to the divine will to raise our lowliness to such sublimity of power, we take courage in him who strengthens us, and setting ourselves to work, relying on the power of God, we proclaim that we have no other program in the supreme pontificate but that of restoring all things in Christ, so that Christ may be all in all. I don't know what made me look that up, but it was so beautiful. And then I went on to look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which was the inspiration of that model. And I'll read from Ephesians 1:9-14. And St. Paul writes, "For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan to the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsels of his will. We who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him, you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So I think what made me think about that was Peter in the very beginning, where you were talking about, you know, there's no new public revelation, but private revelation is to help us understand already what has been revealed. And I feel like we're just so blessed to have Luis's writings and the teachings that our Lord gave us, because he's really helping us to unpack and understand, you know, what he has planned for us from the beginning. It's just so wonderful. We're so blessed to be living in these times.
I think there was a French philosopher named Bergson too in the 1700s who said it's the role of the mystics to help awaken that mysticism in each and every one of us that's been dormant since Adam's fall. Mother?
Yeah, he tells Luis in volume 20, December 8th, 1926, he says, "My daughter, don't you know that these writings of ours come from the depth of my heart, and in them I make flow the tenderness of my heart to touch those who will read them, and the firmness of my divine speech to strengthen them in the truths of my will. In all the sayings, truths, examples that I make you write on paper, I make flow the dignity of my celestial wisdom in such a way that those who read them or will read them, if they are in grace, they will feel within themselves my tenderness, the firmness of my speech, and the light of my wisdom. And as though in between magnets, they will be drawn into the knowledge of my will." He told Luisa somewhere else that when we read these writings, he's with us in a very special way, and we feel his presence. And you do. You get such joy and such peace when you read these writings. You feel our Lord right there alongside you.
Speaking of that, Mother, again, I have to repeat the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the divine will is peace, joy, love. It's so beautiful. Actually, I was just going to say a little quotation here at the end of August 4, 1904, tell me a little bit, my daughter, how am I for you? And I, everything, you are everything for me. Nothing enters into me. Everything flows outside, but you alone. And he, and I am all for you. Nothing of you goes out of me, but I delight all of myself in you. So from the very way I am for you, you can see how you are to me. So God wants everything from us. And so he can give everything of himself to us.
Stiggy Po.
Amen.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, Mother, we've come to the end of the program, but whatever we have covered today, hopefully, God willing, we'll be back again next week. Thanks to the benevolence of Radio Maria. You know, we started with quotes from the Catechism. I guess we're going to end with one. We know that we've read before, and I think we mentioned it last week, from Volume 14, September 11th, 1922. Jesus states that now, the fulfillment of our work of creation was that man would do our divine will in everything. Our divine will was to be the life, the food, the crown of the creature. And since it is not yet so, the work of creation is not yet fulfilled. End quote. So people were actually jumping up. What do you mean it's not fulfilled? Of course it is. It's actually not. Our catechism states that. Article 302, quote, creation has its own goodness and proper perfection, but it did not spring forth complete from the hands of the creator. The universe was created in a state of journeying toward an ultimate perfection yet to be attained, to which God has destined it. End quote. That's the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 302. Everything is in front of us. Everything is substantiated. Everything is grounded. We finally arrived. We really have. That song is so perfect for this program and for this gift of the divine will. So we're going to say a quick prayer before the music comes on, the hook comes on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, every being be blessed with divine love and kindness. Let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with divine sweetness, divine joy, warmness, caringness, and tenderness. From the center of the heart of God, let the entire earth, every person, and every being be blessed with inner healing, inner beauty, divine bliss, and divine oneness. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Ciao. Thanks be to God.